Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
From the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down at 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 5 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. And you can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Koopa. And you can also find me on the South Harmon Discord under my name Koopa Troopa 8. You can join that Discord by going to patreon.com/South Harmon. And if you sign up for the pregame poopers tier, you'll get access to the Wrinkled Brains channel where Dynasty Barry and I, we post all of our analytics that we find. And you'll be able to find the show notes both for this and previous shows that I've done. So if you haven't already, go to patreon.com/South Harmon and sign yourself up. Also, if you haven't signed up for the Warp Tool yet, you can go to southharmonff.com and sign up for that there. The Warp Tool is something that I've mentioned previously in multiple shows, and I have made it so that way you can plug in your leagues and figure out what positions make a difference in your leagues. I've added tons of features to it since I released it about a year ago, and I'm going to continue to be adding to it all throughout the summer and in the lead up to the next fantasy season. Lastly, if you haven't checked it out yet, you have to check out our partners over at Ultimate Autographs. If you go to signedshit or signedsh.it, you can sign up for live prize breaks where you can get all sorts of sports memorabilia. This past weekend on the NFL draft live streams that we did, a bunch of the stuff given away was stuff that we won over at Ultimate Autographs. So we can vouch for the fact that you get real, authentic, signed memorabilia from all sorts of sports. Their live prize breaks are themed, so that way you can get something that is what you're interested in. If you're interested in the NFL, the NBA, MLB, if you just want a grab bag, you just want something nice to go on your wall, you can do that. And just make sure you sign up for the right ones. So if you go to signedshit or signedsh.it and you use the code HARMON15, you'll get 15% off your order at checkout. Today's episode is something that I've had kind of on the docket for a little bit now. I've been looking for some critical takeaway, something like the previous episodes where I did, where I talked about how tight ends don't matter and how if you're in these certain types of leagues, you don't want tight ends. I went through my entire auction preparation strategies, that way you can go and copy it for yourself. I talked about kick returners and said, hey, these are all the kick returners that you want. But this week's episode is going to be a little bit more nebulous. There's not anything you're going to be able to specifically take away that's like, hey, I need to leave right now and go and do this. Today's episode is going to be all about dynasty trade windows and how you're going to be able to use the data to understand, hey, I don't need to push as hard, or maybe I need to just be aware of, am I more likely to get a trade done right now or not? And those little things are going to help you as the year goes on when you remember in the middle of July, oh yeah, people don't really trade during this time, so I don't need to push for one. Or when you get into the season and it gets to week 5 and you're trying to make a trade on a Sunday and you're like, why is nobody accepting my trade? Well, there's a reason for that. And so I'm going to go through the data of when trades get done, And we're going to kind of learn together some takeaways that we can maybe get. It's not anything groundbreaking that's going to turn over your dynasty strategy, but some stuff that might help you either have a cooler head or know that the time is right to strike. So what am I looking at? I'm looking at 5 years worth of trade data going all the way back to January of 2019. The reason I'm looking at this is because I can see a trend year over year. And I was actually extremely surprised at how consistent it was year over year. The only difference in my data sets in terms of the number of trades being done each day of the year is the fact that I have more leagues in each consecutive year. From 2019 to 2020, 21, 22, I kept getting more and more leagues accumulated into my database, and that's the only difference. The trends between what day of the year is the most likely to be traded on, the trends in terms of even what day of the week you want to get your trades done, all of those stay the same. And so I'm going to go through and I'm going to walk you through a year of dynasty trades, and we're going to talk about, hey, what are some of these differences? When do things pick up? When do things slow down? And hopefully it will help you understand, hey, when should I potentially be looking to make trades? Because that's when my league mates might be trying to do it. And maybe when can I take a little bit of a break? Like, we all know dynasty, it goes on year round. And unless you are fully focused and you're almost robotic about it, everyone needs a break at some point. So recognizing when we can take a break from our dynasty leagues and maybe chill out for a little bit is a good thing to have. That way you can maybe plan to spend a little bit more time around your family, have a nice balance, get yourself prepared for, hey, I need to do some stuff around the house, that way I'm ready to hit it hard and I don't feel bad that I've been putting off this project. That's the kind of stuff that I'm going to talk through as we go through this data, and hopefully it will help you understand how to be a more manageable dynasty player, especially when we're talking about people that have consistently more leagues. You only have so much time, and so being able to maximize your time and be able to still succeed in your dynasty leagues by taking advantage of when your other managers are going to be most likely to work with you, that's going to help you maximize that time. So we're going to start our year off in January. In January, we have I'm just going to call it a constant number of trades because this changes year over year. In 2023, we were having about 2,500 trades a day on the Sleeper platform. We get a little bit of people maybe trying to turn over their dynasty teams, try to trigger a rebuild, try to get some draft capital before those picks start to spike in value. And as we continue on through the month of January and February, the number of trades slowly start to decrease. They hit a low point the week after the Super Bowl. What a surprise. When the Super Bowl happens, a bunch of people check out and they're like, I'm done with football for a little bit. And so dynasty trades, they hit a complete bottom. But as we get closer to the NFL Combine, they start to pick up. And then all of a sudden we hit the NFL Combine. And that bumps us back up to the trade activity of the beginning of January. So all we've done is we've gone a little bit down from January, decreasing, and then the NFL Combine comes and we go back up to that rate. Well, this rate is still like almost the lowest of the entire dynasty cycle, because then we get the beginning of NFL free agency. And at the beginning of NFL free agency is when we see our first spike. Now, this is a small spike in terms of this chart, but we start trading at almost double the rate that we were before. We jump up to 5,000 trades per day in 2023, and then we immediately start to decrease again. Because NFL free agency, everything happens over just a couple days. We make a ton of trades, and then we just go back into a little bit of a lull. This lull doesn't decrease as much as it did January to February, but we still go back down and we get down to the point where, hey, we're back at those the beginning of January numbers again. Then, as we get close to the NFL draft, we start to see it pick up. As we get to the second to last week of April, and we get into the last week of April, boom. Now there's tons of trade activity. The week after the NFL draft is the busiest time of the year for trades. There is not more trades happening in one singular day or across even a full singular week than the week after the NFL draft. And that's because everybody's having their rookie drafts. We're all jockeying for position. We finally got our answers. And boom, now we're all trying to make trades. And the number of trades is astounding. We make trades at 7 times the rate of our baseline. And so that's an absurd amount of trades. We're in a trading frenzy. But understand that you're never going to make trades at the rate that you're doing during the NFL draft. We might, as I talk through during the season, we might have individual windows of like 2 or 3 days where the numbers match. But outside of that, there's never going to be anything like it after the NFL draft where it persists for almost a week and a half, where it's just skyrocketed up and it is consistently at a 5 to 6 times rate of our baseline with peaks up to 7 times. After this initial frenzy, we see the number of trades come back down. As we get into the end parts of May, into June, we're going to see it go all the way back down until we hit a low point at the beginning of July. And at the beginning of July, we're going to be down so far, we're down to barely above our baseline. We're down to 3,500 trades a day. It's only like 1.5 times of what our baseline was. Whereas just 2 months before, we were consistently at 6 times, 5 times, we're with peaks at 7 times of our baseline. But as July goes on, people start to return back to fantasy football and they start to pay attention a little bit more. We start to creep up towards the beginning of August, at the beginning of training camp. And at that point, now we're trading at 3 times of our baseline. We see a slow, steady rise from this point until the start of the season, with 2 noticeable spikes. The first one is right before training camp starts. When those teams are reporting to training camp, and we see the first couple days when we're like, oh yeah, this guy, he got a couple reps with the ones or the twos or whatever, we see a ton of trades. And then we also see a spike of trades happen during the first week of the preseason, when we finally start to see these players on the field. We see players get hype and people start trading them, whether they're buying into the hype or selling the hype, whether they're trying to react to potentially injuries in the preseason or just what we're seeing out of practice reports. And we see that all grow and grow until we get to almost 4 times our baseline at the first Thursday game of the NFL season. And then as soon as that first Thursday game hits, we fall back down to almost our July levels of trading between Thursday and Sunday of week 1. Nobody wants to trade at all as soon as that first game starts. Everyone sits pat and just watches their team. Then, when we get around to Tuesday, now we see the first brave souls venture into what I'm going to call the in-season period of trading. During the season, there's 3 days of the week that trade vastly more than every other day. And that is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If the trade doesn't get done in those 3 days, it is way less likely to get done the other 4. The rate of trading for any week Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is almost double of that on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. There's only one exception, and I will talk about that as we get later into the season. So, week one into week two, we see the first teams, they start trading, and their trade rates are still only 4 to 5 times that of baseline. And that's only on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On the rest of the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they're only trading at 3 times the rate as they were in January. And that rate is the same rate that I was talking about when we're in the lead up in the preseason in August. So think about how hard it is to get trades done in August when there's really not that much going on. Like, everyone's just kind of jockeying around of like, oh, I read this thing, and so I think I'm going to make a move based on it, and you don't even know whether it's real or not. That's the same thing that's happening during the season. The only times that the trades are truly being done, in my opinion, are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, when we've just gotten a new batch of actual data off the football field, and you're able to make an actual decision. But it means that you need to make that decision quick. If you wait a little bit for your favorite content creators to come out with their data and tell you, hey, this is what you need to do, it might already be too late. If you aren't ready to listen to content on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, you're already too late. You need to take advantage of this window and try and get all of your moves done early in the week. Because if they aren't getting done then, the chance that they're going to get done later in the week is significantly less. So week two, we have that spike, and I said it was 4 to 5 times our baseline. And when we get to week three, now in the lead up to week three, now we see the first massive spike of the season. We see 3 days where we are at 6 times the rate of our baseline. That is matching all the way back of when I was talking about that week right after the NFL draft. That's when you finally see the flurry of trades catch back up. But it only does it for those 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And right after that, goes right back down to the 3 times rate that just happened in week two. The spike happens only on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And this is the largest spike of the season until the moment that I'm going to talk about later in the season. This spike, we've given people 2 weeks of data, and we've let them see their teams, and a lot of teams have gone, well, crap. Week one, I thought it might have just been a fluke. Week two, I saw I was the worst or second worst team in the league again. All right, I gotta hit the rebuild button, and I need to do it first. And that's when everyone starts doing it. So if you have the guts to, after week one, say, I need to hit the rebuild, you're going to be the one that does it first. During week two, that is your last chance to be the first one to the board to say, I am kicking it in for this year. Everyone, please come take all these veteran assets, these assets I don't need, whatever. After this point, the number of trades slowly goes down. The difference in the lead up to week three versus 4, 5, and 6, 4, 5, and 6 have about 10% less than week three. That's noticeable, but it's not that much. It's kind of the cleanup. Everyone's figuring out, hey, what's going on? And then we get further into the season, week 7, week 8, and it all starts to die off. Week 7 and week 8, it went down significantly in 2023. And we saw a similar thing happen in 2022. It's a weird thing that I didn't necessarily expect, that as we get into the middle of the season, teams are just, they become content. They don't need to have as many trades happen in order to jockey their teams. But then as we get into week 9 and week 10, now it starts to pick back up. And we match the lead up to weeks 4, 5, and 6. During all this time, keep in mind that trades are not happening near the rate on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's what I'm comparing. The Friday through Monday windows, those happen at about the same rate throughout the whole season. There is a dip in week 8, but outside of that, it's basically negligible. So really, your trades, if you're trying to make a move as a contender, you want to target the lead-ups of weeks 3 through 6. And if you don't get it done then, wait a little bit. Wait till week 9. Wait till week 10. And see if you're in the playoffs at that point, or you're in the running for the playoffs. Eventually, we hit week 11. And week 11 is our one outlier. During this week, the number of trades done on week 10's Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of week 10 all match the rate that you see during NFL draft weekend. It is the only other time in the year that you see such a flurry of trades. And there's a good reason for that. That reason is how many leagues have their trade deadlines that weekend. 39% of leagues have a week 11 trade deadline, and so it is their last chance to get any of these players. We notice a similar thing with leagues that have their trade deadlines in week 12, week 13, and week 14, where for each of those, that last week, that's the biggest trading frenzy of the year for that kind of league. We end up with 20% of our leagues that don't have a trade deadline. You're able to trade all through playoffs, but we actually see that the number of trades continues to decrease through playoffs as well. As playoffs go on, fewer and fewer teams need new players, and so you find that the number of trades continues to go down and down, even for those teams that... But when you consider how many trades are being done versus how many teams are still in the playoffs, you would actually not be too surprised to see that the number of trades per team remaining in playoffs is actually increasing. And so even though the number of total trades happening all throughout the month of December ends up being less than our baseline, the number of trades per team that's competing, especially the last 3 weeks of the year, is such that you're going to see that these teams that can still make trades in the playoffs are doing everything in their power to try and compete and try to win that year. And that's not that surprising. In leagues where we don't have a trade deadline, we see teams sell their entire future to try and get that glorious win that year they're competing, and they'll pick up the pieces later. But the one consistency that we still see, even in those last weeks, is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Those are the days that the trades get done. It's more likely that you find your trade partner those days and you're able to get the trade you need than it is to scramble towards Friday, Saturday, Sunday and be able to fix something. So that has taken us all the way throughout an entire year. What if we realize? We realize that the dynasty trades cycle over a year, and that this past week that we've had, where we just had the starts of most of our rookie drafts, is going to be the most we're going to trade over the course of an entire season. We might tie it during the season, but we're never going to have a full week that matches exactly what we're looking for if you're one of those trade junkies that I know some of you are. As this time goes into the summer, you need to take a step back from trying to force trades. When you're trying to force them, that's when you end up making some poor trades. You make poor decisions because you just want to get a trade done. There's no rush throughout May, June, July, and even August. Take some time back. Maybe find something else to do. Maybe enter in some best ball mania. Maybe find some new leagues to join. Maybe do some redraft leagues. Whatever it is that you need to do, just don't try to force trades in your dynasty leagues. That's not going to help you and your team, and I have the data to show that it's not likely to happen. And when things aren't likely to happen, that's when we try too hard and when we get ourselves into trouble. Wait till the season comes, and then when the season comes, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, that's your time to make trades. Don't wait till Friday. Don't be like, oh, I can fix this when I'm off work on Saturday. You don't need to do that. You can go right through and, hey, I just need to do quick reactions. On Tuesday, I know what the landscape looks like from last week. I know which players got hurt. I know what moves I need to make to fix either the players that got hurt on my team or to grab those backups that maybe were on somebody else's and that person's not competing. You got to do it quick. And it's something that needs to get added into your process. In my process, I've always done a Tuesday is entirely dedicated to waivers. And then I would usually end up taking Wednesday to try to look through for trades. But that means I'm missing one out of my total of 3 days to get trades done. And if you consider the fact that maybe some of my fellow managers might not be looking at it as late into Wednesday as I am, I might be leaving myself only Thursday to get trades done. And that's not useful. That's not going to help me get a lot of trades done because most people are already done for the week. I need to find a way to put some trades into my Tuesdays. I need to find a way to get trades offered earlier on Wednesdays. That's what I need to do during the season. And maybe I'll have more luck in getting things done, getting the trades that are going to help my team before somebody else comes in and takes the players that I want. Because we all know how trade negotiations go. You get into a conversation with another manager, and sometimes by the time you reach an agreement with them, nobody else has talked to that other manager. They've only talked to you. And the trade goes through and everyone else goes, man, I wish I could have done the same thing. And it's just who's the first person there. And what we're seeing is that that happens. On Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, and Thursdays, there's significantly more trades and you need to take advantage of it. That's everything that I have for this week. Remember, Dynasty is long, so be sure to stay sharp and grind that edge.